May we turn in our Bibles, please, to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And we're ready to do, or rather to deal with the little word lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. I was just looking at the way in which we've been moving through this epistle in our exposition. And next Lord's Day I shall preach on the little word good report, whatsoever things are of good report. And then when we finish that, we have about 13 or 14 more verses to go until we complete the epistle. But next Sunday we'll have a sermon, the following Sunday is communion, the next Sunday is Children's Day. So this is going to throw me into June and certainly into July. And if I'm calculating right, it will have been just about a year since I came back from Philippi and started this series of sermons. But we do have some wonderful text just ahead of us. Notice the 11th verse. Not that I speak in respect to want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that doesn't mean if you're in a state of sin to be content in your sin. But we're going to open up that for you. And then verse 13 is another beautiful one. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. And that doesn't mean that you should find strength from the Lord to go out and murder somebody. The all things is clearly limited. And then you come on down to verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that doesn't mean that you should stay at home and say the Lord's going to supply my need and I won't go to work today. So we've got some very interesting texts in the latter part of this epistle, which will be a blessing to us as we expound them and see exactly what the Lord meant by them. But the Epistle to the Philippians is a beautiful, beautiful book. And we've sought to get into it in some real depth as we've expounded it. And when I came to this exhortation in which the Apostle says, finally, brethren, after all I've said to you, and after all I've opened up to you about our responsibility in the gospel, I want you people to be an example. I want you people to show what the grace of God can do in a man. I want you people here in this pagan world, in this Roman colony in Philippi, I want you people to let everybody understand what God can do with you. After you've been born again, after you've come to a knowledge of Christ, then you want to let the Lord work in you, and you want to let the world about you know what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I pointed out to you that this eighth verse has in it words which more or less summarize or refer to the law of God. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, you're not to lie, you're not to bear false witness. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. And last Sunday we devoted the entire message to the concepts of purity so far as our lives are concerned and our testimony is concerned. And all of this relates to the fact that God wants us to live lives which are in obedience to his commandments. And he wants us to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our example. The one who indeed did keep the law without blame or without blemish. And consequently, we are a Christian people who are seeking to grow in grace. We are a people who want to improve upon our baptism. We're people who desire our testimony to be strengthened And if you don't desire to be a better Christian every day that you live, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Because we are to die unto sin, and we're to live unto righteousness. And we're to forsake the things which are of the world and the flesh and the devil. And we're to delight in the fruits and the blessings of the Spirit of God. Now all these resources are ours, and all of this belongs to us in Jesus Christ. And I've tried to point out to you, as I've expounded this epistle verse after verse, Paul says, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Everything he talks about in this epistle sets before you and me the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is altogether lovely. Now when I come to this word, whatsoever things are lovely, we find ourselves in a very peculiar position. Because you have a special Greek word here, which is used only in this verse in the New Testament. This is the only place you find this word in the New Testament. I can't turn over to some parallel passages and say, well, now Paul used the word here. He uses it here, only here. And I want to tell you what that word is. I want to tell you how it's derived. I want you to see what Paul has in mind. And then let's take it and make our own applications of it so that we can get the blessing out of it. Whatsoever things are pure. And then he goes ahead and says, whatsoever things are lovely. He moves into another realm here, a little higher realm. It's got a lot of beautiful ideas in it that he wants us to think about. And he says, if there's going to be any virtue and if there's going to be any honor, we must think on these things which are lovely. Well, the word which is used here is prosphilia, or phileis. It comes from the word phileo, which means love, or which also is translated a friend. And literally it means very friendly, extra friendly. Or literally it means very lovely, extra lovely, something that you'd like to love a great deal. It takes the word love and adds the word pros onto it, and it's something that you should love a great deal. And the apostle is saying to you and me that after we've eliminated the ideas of impurities and we want the things which are pure, let's move up and think on these things that we love a great deal. The things that we love, we should, in this area, have a great desire for. Now, I've never seen that in the Bible before myself until I got to study in this text. And so now I want to develop it for you. And let's make some applications. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are to be loved a great deal. There's some things you're not supposed to love. But there's some things you're supposed to love. And the things that you're supposed to love and love a great deal, those are the things you ought to think on. And if you'll think upon those things, there'll be virtue, there'll be praise, there'll be a glorious Christian testimony in what you're doing. Now, what are the things that you love? Now, if you're a Christian, you don't love the world, so that's out of the question. If you're a Christian, you don't love the things that are of the flesh. That's out of the question. But what are some of the things that we love? And what are some of the things that we ought to love a great deal? And he wants us to think upon. Now, I don't know how it is with you, but I used to hear my mother say, out of sight, out of mind. And I know it works with children and it works with grandchildren. You just leave a little bowl of candy on the table and see how long it lasts. And if you want to save that candy, you put it away in a drawer somewhere and lock the drawer. Because if they know where it is, they'll get it. But if you just leave things in sight, these young people are going to get after it. This boy shaking his head, yes, he's done it many times. He knows what I'm talking about. And if you want your children to stay out of mischief, you get the things that make mischief out of their sight. Put it away. Put it up somewhere where they can't see it. Lock it up in the shelf in the closet. Get it away where they can't see it. Isn't that interesting? Everybody's like that. We're all that way. Sometimes I think even my wife works on me. Because I sit down in my chair where I like to sit, and there's a magazine laying there I didn't put there. And I see it, and I begin to read. I think she has that way of getting at me. She puts it close where I can see it, and then I run into it, and I begin to look at it. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I just have these little suspicions. That's all. But many a woman decides that the way to work on her man is to put it in his way where he'll run into it. Put it where he'll see it, and he'll see it. You know, there are two ways to get to you. One's through your ears, and the other's through your eyes. Two ways to get at you. So we have the radio, we have these things, we come to people with their ears. We have these eyes, we come to people with the things which we see. These are the two gates that get into us. And we have to have freedom of speech so you can tell somebody he's in danger. We have to have the freedom of the press so we can report things to people, they can read them. And those constitutional protections of freedom which we have in the Constitution of the United States are blessed protections because someone can give you some information that you ought to have. And so I'm in favor of freedom of speech so I can talk to you. And I'm in favor of freedom of the press so we can read and give information to one another. But how do you get to somebody? Out of sight, out of mind. Well, the apostle is saying here, whatsoever things are lovely, let's put about us, let's put around us the things which are extra lovely, so we can think about them when you run into these things. Now let me give you an illustration or two. Let's take some simple illustrations. Look at these flowers here on the pulpit. Aren't they lovely? Look at these flowers over here. Aren't they lovely? They just seem to speak of beauty to us. They're here every Sunday. I always look at them. I marvel at the committee, the way they blend the colors. They seem to fit in even with the colors of the rug. It's beautiful. It's lovely. People come into this church of ours and say, oh, Dr. McIntyre, it's so simple. It's lovely. It's a beautiful place to worship. Well, that's what we wanted. We wanted a nice, lovely place where we could come with our children and sit here and worship God. And our thoughts turn to Him and to the things which are beautiful in the Lord. Now, you won't mind if I talk about your homes, will you? But what do you see when you go into your home? Well, I'll tell you some of the things that you see. One of the first things you'll see in most of our homes are some pictures of our children when they were small. Or there's some pictures of a loved one. We give exchange of pictures with each other at birthday times or at Christmas time. Maybe on your dresser upstairs you've got a picture. I have a picture of my mother on my dresser. I see it every day coming back and forth, my mother. I'm reminded of her. Reminded of some of the things she used to say to me when I was a boy. But why do you have pictures in your home? You go into a home and here's a piano and here's the wedding day and here's the daughter with her beautiful wedding dress on and there's her husband standing together before the pulpit of the church. And you say, isn't it beautiful? Why did you put it there? Why did you want it there in the first place? Because you wanted to think upon those days. It was a great and a glorious day when she got married. She established her own home, and she went off with her husband to have some ideals that we'd always been taught to. So you have the picture.
You can go into home after home, and some of you women that were married 30 years ago, 40 years ago, still have your wedding picture. And it's right there on the mantle, the day that you were married. And you go back to that day, it was a lovely day. And you think about it. And that's what the Lord says. Whatsoever things are lovely, you think on those things. You surround yourself with these thoughts and these suggestions that are come back to you and hold up to you these ideals and these principles and these dreams and these hopes that have made life happy in the midst of the tears and the sorrow and the tragedy that comes along the way. He's asking you to think about these things, the lovely things. And if there's anybody lovely in life, it ought to be those that are nearest and dearest to us. Well, let's just go a little further. You know, it's very interesting the way some women set their tables, their kitchen tables, their dining room tables. Isn't it interesting that so many of you like to go out and clip a few little daisies or get some roses off the bush, and you come and put them on the dining room table? Why do you want to have a centerpiece on your table with some flowers there? Why is it? Would you tell me why? Why don't you get some thorns and get a bowl of coal and stick on your table? Wouldn't that be nice to have a bowl of coal, old rock, sitting on the table? Husband comes and says, what you got these here for? The more to throw at you, sir. No, you don't have that. But you put your little centerpieces, your little... And I always wondered why it was that the women said, I had a set of china given to me for my wedding. My mother gave me the china. Or it was my father, somebody gave me my silver. And the pattern that they had in that silver, and the initials that were put on that silver. Somehow or other, the very dishes you spread on the table. You just go downtown, will you please, sir, and buy a little cheap set of dishes and bring them home, see what they tell you. You try it sometime. The dishes, there must be something about the dishes. And then there must be the little centerpieces, and then there must be the flowers. Why is it that way? Why do you want it that way? Because you want to have the things that are lovely. And oh, the woman that'll grace a home and put about her family and about her husband these little touches that make for loveliness and for beauty in the home. Paul says to you Christians, whatsoever things are true, let's stand up for the truth. Whatsoever things are honest, let's not have any deceit in our midst. Whatsoever things are pure, let's have purity. Oh, but beloved, let's go beyond that. And let's have the things that are lovely along life's way. Let's put them about us, that we might be thinking of these things, that we might rejoice in these things. Do you think I ought to say something about your front yards? How many of you people set your garbage out in your front steps where the odors can come up when the people come in? No. You have a forsythia bush out there or some hydrangeas or something else out there by your steps. You put your garbage out in the back and you make sure the man gets it on Wednesday night so it doesn't last another week. Well, maybe some of you don't make sure. But what's the idea? The front porch, the front yard, the living room, that has to be a little something extra. Why? Because you want the things that are lovely. That's why. That's the reason it's that way. And that's the reason that every last one of us should have some standards and ideals and hopes for our homes, for our town, for our churches, for our nation, this land of liberty in which we live. Oh, we preach against indecency and against drunkenness and against the sin that abounds on every hand. But don't you think once in a while we ought to stop and talk about the lovely things? And lift our minds up into this area as the Lord would have us think about these lovely things. You girls, you young men, begin to take an appreciation of the things that are beautiful. You know, when I was a boy, you begin to think of these things.
I used to like the birds. And I had some pigeons that lived in the barn. They got so filthy we had to get rid of them. But you know what I got to liking when I was a boy? We used to have these martins. They were purple martins. Now, I don't see them around here very much. But you could put a long pole up in the backyard, put a box on top of it, and these martins would come in, and they swoop, and they great circles they make up into the heavens. They'll dive down, get into their box. In the early morning, you hear them, and oh, how they sing, the martins. Do you know when I came to Carnswood, I put a martin box up in my backyard, and I couldn't get one to come near it. But what was it about it that made me want the birds, the martins? They're singing. The circles, the great swings which they made, how they'd go into the highest of the heavens and twist and turn and come with a dart and find their way into that little box. There they'd lay their eggs. There the little ones would come out. Then they'd begin to sing. And I'd love to see those birds. And I used to think of those great things in the scriptures. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. Oh, the martins, the purple martins, as they used to come out of the heavens, I loved to hear. It made me dream and think of great things it could be. And I remember we had a Sunday school teacher, I'll never forget him. He says, boys, hitch your wagon to a star. That's what he always told us. And so I looked into the heavens, and I loved the martins. But I guess if I want to see purple martins, I'll have to go back to the Midwest, because I can't get them in Collingswood. But what is it? It's the things that are beautiful. It's the things that have to do with the upper realm of our ideals and our dreams and our hopes. And the apostle says, whatsoever things are lovely, you think on these things. Now, something else may appeal to you. But I tell you, how manifold are thy works, O Lord, in wisdom hast thou made them all. I've gotten an hour where I kind of like the Atlantic Ocean. I really do. Now that we're down at the ocean there in Cape May, and day before yesterday, the porpoises came back. And you know, we've had a sensation down there. We saw them last summer. These porpoises roll around through the sea, and especially in the morning when the ocean gets perfectly calm, just like a lake. You'll see the fin of the porpoise break. And then you'll see a second one. Then you'll see a third one. You find yourself counting them and looking for the next one. And then they seem to disappear. And then they'll break the water again. You look at it. And you know, day before yesterday, they came up within at least 200 feet of our little steps there. Caused quite a sensation. But isn't there something about a fish? The way they're made, their scales, the way they overlap and fit each other, and then the color of the tails and the orange and the blue and the red that's under their belly and all the different things that move in to that beauty. And I love to go fishing. I don't mind catching a fish because the Lord told me to have dominion over them. He expects us to enjoy them. But when you catch the fish and you see the color and you see the way they're made, beloved, you say, oh, we've got a wonderful God. And there's not even a sparrow that can fall to the earth without his knowing. The very number of your hairs, every hair on your head is numbered, and it falls to the ground only with his permission. God expects us to enjoy the nature that he's made. He expects us to see his handiwork as an evidence of his wisdom. And after you've looked at the beauties of the natures, and you've looked at the heights of the crags and the mountains, and you've studied all these things in nature, you come back to one thing which is beautiful above all other. And that's the wisdom of God that's seen in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. The most lovely thing that you and I can think about is how God sent his only begotten Son down here to deal with your sin, to lift you out of death, to take away the pains and the judgments of hell, and to give unto you everlasting life. These are the lovely things that he wants us to think about. Should I speak about music? Should I say anything about music? Well, at least I know enough to know this old jazz that jars. At least I know enough to hear some of this stuff that's on the radio that I'm not interested in. It seems to satisfy our tin pan alley creatures of the day. That's about it, all it is. It's music of the gutter. It's music of the flesh. It's music that defiles. No, beloved, God has given us on this earth some of the most beautiful in the realm of music for us to understand that lifts our heart and lightens our soul. And all the music that's been used to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we do love it. How we love it. We're to surround our things with these things. Same thing in the field of literature. We don't want the crass, filthy type of literature, but we do want the kind of literature that will elevate. And thus it is when the Saturday Evening Post and the Ladies' Home Journal decided to take their liquor ads and this other type of thing, they lost a lot of subscriptions. But women used to like the Saturday Evening Post because it had clean stories in it, that's why. And that's the way it ought to be. We're a people who want clean stories, and we want to be surrounded with the things which are lovely in order that we might be lifted up. Now will you take your Bible and turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter. How this fits in so beautifully with what the apostle is saying here. And beginning with the 16th verse, the apostle says, "Now this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." You walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It's against the Spirit. It's not the friend of the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now look at this. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're born again, you won't live in that world. Now notice the next phrase. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Since you've become the child of the Lord Jesus Christ, the affections that have to do with an evil heart, they're gone. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, beloved, the Word of God is so plain, it's so clear what God wants us to do in these areas. And Paul says, the things which are lovely, you think on these things. How do you know why he says this? Because this sort of life will not induce you to sin. Why do we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil"? It's the baser things that appeal to the flesh. It's the baser things that induce us and lead us on and tempt us, and we go into sin and into great disaster. Now this word, as I told you, the only place it's found, it's a word that means translated love. It's also translated friend. But the Lord wants you to surround yourself with the things that are friendly to what you believe. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. That's what the apostle said.
He does not want you to surround yourself with the things which belong to the world of the devil. He wants you to surround yourself with the things that pertain to godliness. And there ought to be the biggest difference in the world between the home of a godly man and the home of a wicked man. And oh, how the missionaries will tell you, and how I've seen it myself, you go into these lands where someone turns from paganism and superstition, and the first thing they do is to clean up their house. The first thing they do is to take out all these things that are of the old life and of the old doctrine. And they clean themselves up, and they clean their houses up, and they clean their bodies up, and they clean their souls up. And you can hear the word of God saying, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And the word of God will clean you up. And when it cleans you up, you want to be in an environment of cleanliness and beauty, and where you can appreciate the things of God. Oh, but you say, "Dr. McIntyre, I don't have enough money to be like you're talking." It doesn't take money, beloved. It doesn't take money to see the beautiful things in life. Thank God you can get it. God's given it to us all about. And if you parents want your children to be lovely characters and appreciate the things which are lovely in nature, in music, in art, in literature, and all the fields of human endeavor, you have to bring that loveliness to them where you are from the very beginning. And that's what God would love to have you do. Oh, how beautiful this verse is. Whatsoever things are lovely, let's think on them things. Let's exalt these things. Let's rejoice in these things. Son, there's no reason why you can't keep your hair combed and your face clean. The girls will like you better. What makes you think you look all right when you get your nose all bloodied up and your face all smeared up and your hair hadn't been cut for 4 weeks and you don't comb it? What makes you think you look good? You want to look like a ruffian? You want to look like a gangster? You want to look like somebody that's out murdering the crowd? I say you don't. No, be respectable. At least wash your hands. Keep yourself looking decent. That's right. And if you're a good-looking man, the girls will pay attention to you. They will. But this covers all the field of our activity in our relationship to God and in our relationship to one another. And do you know, our shorter catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And Jesus Christ is the one who in the Song of Songs was declared to be the one who is altogether lovely, the fairest among 10,000, the lily of the valley. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the message. We thank Thee that we can bring it down to where we are. And we thank Thee that we love these things. We love them with an extra appreciation, which are lovely. And may we put them about us. And may we heed what the Apostle Paul says in this blessed text. May we think on these things. May we have them where we will think upon these things. And wilt Thou bless each one of us as we seek to serve Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen.